to another episode of the West Life Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Barnett. We are sponsored by West Ashfield Leagues, and they are the best place other than Homebush if you're joining Big Shane and I Saturday in the West Tigers Bay as we take on the Rabbitohs in the game we're previewing tonight. If you can't make it out there, the next best place is West Ashfield with the big screen, live and loud, and grab yourself a pizza or a burger and a cold beer. And we are also sponsored by MG Pump Solutions. So Shane's with us tonight, and I've got my other co-host in Rob Bashara. I'll get to the boys in a second. So as always, give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at West Life Pod if you're on those. And you'll see as in the Patreon, so the patreon.com/West Life, those guys, they got an early word from Rob, who's been digging into this David Ofoluma news, which we'll get to soon. But he let the Patreon guys in the Discord know before we went on air tonight, gave him a little bit of a preview of what he's going to let us know what's going on with that. And welcome to all those watching on YouTube as we stream live. The YouTube, over 500 hits on Monday night's episode, which is the biggest first 500 we've had, boys, on the YouTube channel. So, not a bad effort. A quintuple ton on there, which is awesome. Yeah, and I hope everyone enjoyed that chat with Michael Chamis on Monday night too. It was cool to have a journo come on and defend his article, and brought some fire and had a bit of a friendly debate with Rob. It was Rob that was quite enjoyed that chat with Michael. It's been, I think he's done himself plenty of favors too, because I think everyone's become a little bit more fans of him and his work now. He's a friend of the show, we can say.
Yeah, well, he invited himself on the show, Josh, and I went very easy on him. I didn't. We know who's feeding him all his info, and when it comes out, etc. So I just thought I'd be quite polite with him, and let him give his views as to what he thinks. But obviously, he's got an insight into what they're thinking with Madge, and even if we've improved, we can always get someone else to take it further. Well, you could say that about other staff at the club as well. There's a CEO who's been there for 7 years, and he's allegedly turned us into a profit-making club. Well, we could move him on too and get someone better with a bit of footy knowledge. So, I just let it go, mate. It was just good to have him on the show and just get a little bit of a different perspective, that's all. But, yeah, nice of him to come on.
Those comments starting to come through. Seeing all those regular names. Thanks to all these guys. The OG live stream watchers coming in. Brandon noticed that Shane and I got matching Indigenous jerseys. Shane, unfortunately, your Indigenous jersey hasn't arrived in time for Indigenous round, unfortunately, the new one, which I've decked out the background and the wallpaper of the video screen tonight, because it looks fantastic. Obviously, for a great Indigenous round's great for great cultural celebration, but bloody good looking jersey as well. I need to get myself one as well. How you going tonight anyway, big fella?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. They delayed my package. It was meant to come today. So I was excited to get home to it, and there was nothing here. I went through my letterbox, went through everything, and I'm like, man, they've put it somewhere. Didn't even think to just go look online. Now it's been delayed it's saying it might come tomorrow, but as soon as it says between this day and whatever day, and it was like next Tuesday, I'm like, oh, well, it's coming next Tuesday. they're not gonna rush it out to me. So I'm like, look, I don't have that jersey, so a bit dirty on it, but that's all right. Just keen to hear what info Rob's got, and I've obviously heard a little bit of it, but
yep.
No, just keen to hear the bits and pieces.
Right, Mr. Bashara, what you've been doing some digging today. What have you heard? Can the boys go back-to-back this weekend in round 12 as they take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs? You can watch all the action live and loud in the lounge and sports bar this Saturday at 5:30 p.m. at the home of the West Tigers, West Ashfield. That's at 115 Liverpool Road, Ashfield. Sure, you know where West Ashfield is by now. The West Ashfield is proud to be able to provide ongoing support to 30 local organisations in the field of sport and arts, and providing assistance to an additional 30 non-for-profit organisations within the local area. And of course, stay tuned for exciting dining offers and giveaways via this podcast in association with West Ashfield. For more information, visit West Ashfield's website at westashfield.com.au, or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at West Ashfield.
Yeah, well, basically it started with reports earlier in the week that David Nofaluma has been named on an extended bench, and he's not going to be playing due to poor form, which I thought was a crock, because obviously he hasn't played for 3 weeks. The previous three games we'd played, we'd won two of them. He'd been a star in two of those games. You know, we were told he was under concussion protocol, et cetera, et cetera. So it just didn't make sense to me. And I thought, you know what, we're going to make a late change. He's going to start. This is our grand final this weekend. He has to be playing. Anyway, I made a couple of inquiries this afternoon, and basically I've been told that, to put it politely, he's done nothing illegal, but he just hasn't acted in a professional behaviour. So some of the way he's been, say, handling his concussion protocol is not how you'd handle that protocol as a professional athlete, in terms of what he's doing after hours or who he's hanging around with, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this goes on the back of a year ago, some issues when he was in the leadership group, and then he got dropped from it. Probably a similar storyline. I love Nofa. I don't want to bag him. He's a great guy. He really is a great guy. But, you know, it just seems like, off the field, personally, not that he's getting into strife or anything, he's just not behaving the way, you know, a supreme athlete should. And let's face it, guys, he's at least in the top five wingers in terms of payment. You know, he's got one of the highest salaries. He could even be in the top three wingers. I don't think there's many wingers on a higher salary than Nofa. So he's on a thin line at the moment, and he needs to sort of, you know, pull his head in. And it's a real shame, because he was the heart and the poster boy of the club a couple of years ago. Like, we think of Passion and Tiger and everything, you just think of Nofa, you know. And you know, he's just had a bit of a fall from grace. His footy's been good when he's playing, but I just knew that it just didn't make sense, man. You can't tell me that Kapoa is better than Nofaluma. And I really thought there was going to be a late change, but it kind of makes sense now. So, and obviously the story got broken a couple of hours ago, but I told the Patreon group about 6 hours ago that something was coming, but we found out eventually anyway before I mentioned it.
Yeah, who ended up publishing it? Was SMH ended up publishing
it? It was Michael Carayannis. He published it about maybe 2 hours ago, not even. So yeah, but he's put it down to a single indiscretion. I don't believe it to be a single indiscretion. I think it's just to be general manner of professionalism, for want of a better term.
Yeah,
you know, that's as far as I'm not going to go into exactly what he did, but like, what he did, it wasn't illegal. It's just, you shouldn't be doing that when you're meant to be under concussion protocol. So were you really concussed, you know, if you're doing what you're doing?
Shane is probably the most beloved Tiger, as just said, that Twitter, the gif of him getting up after a try and kissing the logo kind of sums up the guy is West Tigers. How does that hit, that sort of news that he's slacking off a little bit? Let's know your thoughts.
It's just frustrating. Like, he's been out for 3 games saying he's got constant headaches. Man, is he just hung over the whole time? Like, come on, man. Like you're going out, you're on concussion protocols. You're going out and getting pissed. Like, I don't think any other high-level athlete would think that's a smart idea, especially when you're off because of a concussion protocol. Like, concussions aren't things to be messed around with. And it's like, well, I'm not saying he was bullshitting, but did he need the 3 weeks off? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that he definitely didn't have symptoms, but he's definitely not helping himself. like the whole thing with concussion, like stay hydrated. He was hydrating with the wrong liquid. So I don't know. It's just very disappointing because look, after last year, like I'll straight up say it, he was absolutely shit last year. There's a couple of games he really put in. The rest of the games he didn't put in at all. And I was worried that we'd given him this 4-year contract. And it's like he played his best season of footy in 2020. 2021, he was bang average after he'd just gotten his contract extension. And this year he's finally, like, I think because a lot of the boys were... A lot of the boys were like probably getting up him a little bit, and the commitment throughout the whole team has definitely shifted. I think that's really pushed him to play good this year because he really has played good. Grant's just asked, did he leave at halftime last Friday? From reports, he did. He had a headache, supposedly. So he left halftime. But look, after hearing about him going off and getting pissed, like I don't have sympathy for him. Like it's a pretty pathetic thing to do when you're off injured. Like it doesn't make sense to me, but I don't know. Like he might be hanging around the wrong crowd. He might be hanging around the wrong people. Who knows? Like who does know? Cause it is pretty easy to get influenced by fuckwits. Especially when they're not out for the best for you.
And you're rich for the best famous.
For them. 100%. Oh, look who I'm hanging out with, David Nofaluma. How good's this? Let's go to this pizza joint and get pissed. You know, like they all go to those bad restaurants, go get pissed. Like it's, you sort of see it come up every now and again on his stories. Obviously the last 3 weeks, we haven't seen anything. It's been dead quiet. But pre-season, he was always out. He had that Ferrari for a bit. He was driving around in that Ferrari. You know what I mean? That sort of shows me the type of people he's hanging out with. You know, like we all know the people who have those cars. Some might say they're not quite desirable. Mm. So
458 Italia from memory. I think I remember that one.
Yeah, it was pretty fat too. I liked it.
Yeah.
But look, that's just my opinions. I just disappointment. Like it's just the same shit again. Like after last year. You'd really think he would have learned, wouldn't you?
Rob, the outside backs, the talent, obviously, Junior Tupou's had a pretty good debut for us on the wing. Got some other guys, obviously got Kenny through last year. So he's fighting for position. So it's not really... Whereas in previous years, when he got dropped... it was hard for him, even though he got dropped, it was pretty hard to drop him because there wasn't really much else coming in behind him. It's risky business for him to even do it, especially do it now, considering there's guys that can take his spot.
Well, especially with, you know, Adam back in round 14 with, you know, so many good halves at the club at the moment for us, like basically with four halves, only Adam's, the only one that can play centre is Adam out of those four. If you went through the back line, say at full strength, you'd have Noffa and Marmalo on the wings, but you could easily get away with having Marmalo and Toa on the wing and play Dewey and Naden in the centres. So there certainly will be competitions in a couple of weeks. Right, as it is right now, to me, Noffa just walks into the team on that right wing. So, but obviously for what he's done, he's not going to do that this week. So, and that's the other thing that made no sense. They said, oh, he's dropped on form. I'm thinking, well, hang on. You know, Kapoa was named last week and didn't even play. Like, Naden came in and took his spot. And now Kapoa's jumped Tupou. So, yeah, the whole thing kind of smelled. Obviously, the club are trying not to embarrass him too much about it and trying to keep it in-house, but it's not so in-house anyway. And obviously, you know, Karyanis has run with it tonight. So, yeah, not good. Not good for Noffa. And it's our grand final, guys. I really think we can go on a deep run if we win Saturday. So,
yeah,
it's just really... pointing all around. Hopefully the guys that play do the job.
Yeah, so we'll get to the team list later on. We'll just get through a couple of other news stories as I try and find. You caught me off guard a bit there. The Payne Haas situation. No, it's all good. I should have been ready for it. The Payne Haas situation, boy. So I was looking around the internet. I don't know if you guys ever go around looking on the internet looking for NRL stories, but Hooper had a tiny little clickbait headline here talking about the Roosters had if you go into the article, it's like literally very, very minimal discussions. But man, it's like the stereotype with the Roosters, but they're not allowed to do this when he's under contract, surely. They're just kind of talking about. They said, "Oh, it came to nothing because he said he's under contract." How are they even allowed to do this? They did it with Connor Watson too. Like Connor Watson, before he signed back with the Roosters, and he was still under contract the Knights. He said on the Matty Johns podcast last year, he goes, "Oh yeah, the Roosters came to me early last year and blah blah." I said, "What did you think about coming?" Like they're not allowed. Like surely that's tampering. You can't talk to someone until after November. Like how do they get away with this?
Well, Josh, in the last hour or so, because obviously I've been following it since it got broken earlier this afternoon, in the last hour or so, Nick Politis has come out and said they're not talking to him and they're not interested in him. And they're actually prioritising James Tedesco over Haas. So the Roosters have washed their hands of it. Not that that means anything anyway. But yeah, for now, that's what's being reported. But yeah, if he does go to the Roosters, I actually think it'd be good for us because that means the Roosters would have a hard time
keeping Crichton,
and then Crichton could come to us. But yep. At the moment, fans, the Roosters are saying they're not interested in him, but you know, they get who they want when they want.
Yeah, the collateral damage would be nice. It just annoys me, players doing this. And I'm like, looking around the internet today when it broke, obviously West Tigers fans, like we were all like, "Oh, we want him, we want him, we want him. Like, let's get him, throw money at him." My reaction was the same. But when I like thought about it, I'm like, you know what? I know the Broncos, like, I don't think I've ever felt sorry for the Brisbane Broncos before, but players under contract doing this is just giving me the shits. And obviously it's happened to us multiple times where a player is just, he was under contract and just spat the dummy and went to Parramatta. We've had a couple of those. Like, it just annoys me that players are doing this. So part of me is like, oh yeah, I hope, like, I'd love him at the West Tigers. Part of me is like, no, the players need to fucking stop doing this. Like, you signed a contract, he's on big money, and now he wants more. He's changed management. Obviously his management, I mean, it's probably his management feeding the garbage as well. Apparently, like, he wants more money, but like, they sign a contract and then they kick up a hissy fit and they want more when they start playing better. Shane, how do you feel about? Oh, you, no, go Rob.
I'm gonna say the Broncos have come out though and done what we should have done with Madison and Moses and the like. The Broncos have come out tonight with a very short statement saying they won't be releasing him and he'll see out his contract.
Yeah.
So they've put it to bed and said he ain't going anywhere. So he's supposed to be staying now. So that's the end of the story, and that's how you should handle it. Now, the other thing, maybe his management and Payne have come out and said, "Oh, you know, like, the negotiations have broken down. We're not going to stay here anymore." Well, Ponga did that less than a month ago with Newcastle. There was a story come out on the Sunday saying Ponga's leaving Newcastle, and then 3 days later, he extended his contract. So you don't know how it's going to pan out for sure, but I really like the way the Broncos have handled it. And, you know, credit to Ben Eichen and all their team for, you know, that's how. And, you know, if one club stands up, especially to a marquee player like Payne Haas, and says, "Mate, you're not going anywhere, you're signed here, and if you want to play reserve grade, you play reserve grade," all the other clubs will follow, and all the player managers and future players who want to pull this kind of stunt just put on notice, you won't get away with it. So good on the Broncos for saying you're not going anywhere.
Shane, is this, do these situations piss you off like they do me?
Yeah, it's just not right. It's I don't know. It's very greedy, but at the same time, like, you can sort of understand where they're coming from. Their careers are short in NRL. Like, some people make it 10, 15 years, others make it 5. You know what I mean? So I can understand the want to get more money, but you're under contract. Like, it's that simple. You're under contract. On your last year of the contract, you can start talking to people. From that November 1, then you can talk to people. It's there's no worries with that. But the fact that people know that he's gone and spoken to the Roosters. Like, I love that Broncos just went, nah, you're contracted to 2024 and you're staying until 2024. Like, I love that. That's good.
Yeah.
And as Rob said, we should have done it. We should have stood strong with Madison, with Moses, and said, no, you've got a contract. You've gone and spoken to other people. You know what? You're playing reserve grade now for the rest of the year. Go fuck yourself. And that's really what should have happened, because then all their stocks drop. They're not playing NRL anymore. So you sort of just got to bum them out a little bit and just like, I know it's a bit dirty, but it's dirty what they're doing. Like, you can't sit there and go break a contract. Like, cause really, like, what is the repercussions of this? Because we haven't seen any repercussions. It's just spoken about, become November 1st, we can talk to this player. But how come every other club seems to talk to everyone who they want? Bulldogs have been talking to all the Panthers players. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of, I understand Barrett was coaching them, but like, you know what I mean? It's just like that. They've done exactly the same thing. Bulldogs have literally done the same thing and nothing gets said about it.
Carla, said it's sick of this argument. NRL players are on 5 to 10 times more than everyday person. Look, they do, like Shane said, they've got a short career and you can't begrudge them for, like, you can make the same argument for Hollywood actors. Like, do Hollywood actors really need $50 million for a movie? No, but the producers, like the company that's making the movie makes $1 billion. Like, you deserve, they, and it's on the back of their name, they deserve a cut. And it's the same for sports stars as well. Like, yes, they're on stupid money, and yes, it's a much better job than digging holes. Like, it, but that's just, unfortunately, it's just how the world works. If someone's making money off you, you deserve to make a good chunk of that back, rather than the NRL just putting it in their own pockets. The guys that bring in the money and bring in the crowds and bring in TV viewers, which pay the contracts, they deserve the money. But it's just shit that he's on 750 and now he wants a mil plus. Like,
what should be getting $900 million anyway. Like, he's a great player. He's probably the best prop in the game. But it's not like he offloads the ball at will or anything like that. He's just a huge meter eater, and he's got a machine like a turbo like no other. But you know, the player manager really needs to be wrapped over the knuckles too. Like, A, he's got too much power. I don't even know who the manager is, but you look at how shit the Broncos have been for 2 or 3 seasons, and they've finally got their act together with, you know, they could probably even have a few better players in certain positions. And their last 3 weeks, they've thrashed teams. They've thrashed really good teams. They've thrashed Cronulla. You know, I'm not saying Newcastle's great, but they've like won some really good games and they're on a really good roll. And for this news to come out, you know, the night before they're going to play, you know, their arch rival or local team in the Gold Coast, it's just poor timing. It's just piss ball around by Haas and his management. This should not be blowing up right now. It's terrible for morale. It's terrible for the whole club. So, yeah, like, I just think it's piss ball by the manager, really.
Jared here says, players think they're worth more, sign 1 or 2 year deals, play your ass off. So that's what Sonny Bill Williams would do. He'd back himself, which is risky because they don't know if they get a career-ending injury, then they're screwed. They don't get any money beyond that deal. But Sonny Bill Williams is to sign 1 year here, 1 year there, rugby league, jump back and forth, bit of boxing. He could do boxing in between contracts there. So, I mean, yeah, so he kind of did it, I guess you can call it, the right way. He just kept negotiating deals and never broke a contract because he was always coming off contract. So, yeah, so if they really want to be able to do this, yeah, sign a 1 year deal. Another thing I thought of too, sometimes in these situations, boys, I haven't mentioned this yet because it kind of only came to my head earlier, but sometimes trading a player to a club will convince them to release them. How would you boys feel about us sending, say, Jock Madden to Brisbane for them to release him to play for us, Haas to play for us?
Look, if the deal benefits both teams, sort of like what we did with Grant in 2020, you know, like if it benefits both teams, it's definitely worth doing. But the problem is, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to do it like Premier League soccer where you can send players out on a loan? You know what I mean? Like, especially if there's going to be if there's a lot of teams like this, are you going to start sending players out on loan? They pay a bit of the wages, and then at the end of the year, there's a deal to buy. You know what I mean? There's a lot of options that you can do, and NRL is very stagnant. They've kept the same model for way too long. I think that year in between's pathetic. I don't think that should work. I understand players want to know their future, but play good. Play good and you're going to get the contracts. Like, it's absolutely that simple. Yeah, like, if they want a four-year contract, sweet, but you're taking a bit of a reduced deal. I don't know. It's just that 1 year gap, I think, for me is what really pisses me off the most. You know, like, we've signed two excellent players and we're watching them play for other teams this year. And it just does my head in. I'm just like, well, I want them now. We've signed them. This is bullshit. Like, we should be getting them now.
Yeah.
But
that's how NBA and NFL, the American sports, do it. The season ends, a window opens, and then you sign for your next club. You're not, there's no signing ahead. For contracts. I'm not sure. How do they do it in soccer?
Well, in EPL, in soccer in general, you've got two transfer windows. So you've got a summer transfer window, which is in our winter. And then come January, another transfer window opens up for a month. And you can grab a few players then if you've got money and do it that way. And you get people swapping and going out on loans, all sorts of stuff. So I don't know. Like, I really do think NRL should start maybe having a look at that because
they used to have that though. It was that about 10 years ago. They did. There was a window or a deadline for signings. It was similar to that.
Yeah, but I'm even just saying trades and like swap deals, you'd call it, and exactly what happened in 2020. You know what I mean? Like, they get one of our players. Like, they got Momorowski. We got Grant. They needed a center. We got a hooker. You know what I mean? So, like, they know it works, but how come nothing's really happened ever since that? That was like this groundbreaking, brand new thing that the Tigers and Storm are doing. Then all of a sudden, it's never happened again. So, I don't know. It seems really like a smart idea for me, but and that they were sort of going to that window, probably two windows in the year, but. Yeah, they just sort of gave up on it, and it's gone back to the talk November 1st and sign them for the following year.
Rob Aaron from Bounce of the Ball, agree that how he's acting is poor form. NRL players are woefully underpaid compared to other professional athletes. Look, as I said before with the money, I know a few people too are talking about how players used to, like Ciro was a cop and Piercy was a PE teacher, Rob, or something like that.
School teacher. Yeah.
So they used to do jobs during the day, but they'd also play football at a local park and only one or two games would be on TV. Like, the NRL get over a billion dollars a contract. Like, they're getting, it's a massive, massive amount of money that is going into the game. And Rob Aaron, obviously, he's big on the NBA and American sports like I am, but at the same time, NRL players are underpaid because the NBA, like, their franchises alone, each of them were worth like tens of billions of dollars alone, like per franchise. So, like, it's all about that chunk of what it's worth. The NBA players, they're getting big pay rises. I know Nikola Jokic is about to sign. He's entitled to a supermax, so he's about to sign a $51 million per year contract. And there's a couple of players that are about to sign that there, and they have like activations. So if you make a first team or you get MVP and certain things, you can get paid more. It's a pretty complicated system that I don't think the NRL would ever do. But these players also, they get 100K for Origin though.
We just don't have the sponsorship, Josh. We don't have
We're a small fish compared to
America. We don't have the viewership even. We don't have the viewership, dude.
We've got 10 times the size of our population, so...
More.
We just...
And like...
And then every franchise, as you said, Josh, is privately owned.
Yeah.
So we just can't compete with that. What the NRL have to do if they want to get, you know, get the players and the clubs more money, this billion-dollar deal that they get, they need to, like, be investing a lot of it in assets, you know, have the game set up for the future so that if you get a pandemic or you get anything, you know, your own commercial properties or residential properties and you're getting an income and rent. And then once you've planted all those seeds, then you can pay the players and clubs what they want. You know, your property portfolio is growing. But all they seem to do is just get their money and just start handing it out to everyone. And they've got nothing left for a rainy day. They just haven't really set themselves up for the future properly.
Alex mentioned the draft system. I just don't think it'll work with NRL. Because they've got the college system and it's very different in America. I mean, AFL do it, but I just can't see that ever working for rugby league. What do you guys reckon?
Josh, but it's been you know, knocked on the head in court. I'm a massive fan of it. I accept what you're saying about, you know, we don't have a college system or you know, kids coming through where you can pick. But, like, if Canterbury have come last 2 years in a row, they should get the first pick of whatever player. And even if that player doesn't want to play for Canterbury, well, Canterbury can, say, make a deal with the Tigers and say, you know, you guys can have this player and we'll take, you know, your next pick or a couple of picks after that. Like, it's a little bit complicated for people that don't understand how a draft works. But,
yeah.
I don't think, you know, like, the best teams, for example, should be able to go get Brandon Smith if there are seven other clubs that want Brandon Smith, you know, when he's leaving. But that's just how the game works. And, yeah, it's not going to change for a while, I think, guys.
Yeah. The thing I've said this on the show before, what I reckon should happen, because there's certain clubs that put in time, money, and we're one of them, into juniors, bringing juniors through and building them up. And then only have them poached by teams that don't have the junior bases. So us, Parramatta, Penrith are kind of the big ones in Sydney. I think every NRL contract, you should have to pay 5% to the junior club. So whether that's based on their jersey flag team or I don't know how you do it, but the junior club should get a cut of their contract for their entire career. So right now, James Tedesco James Tedesco's contract should be paid 5% to West Tigers. It's just not fair on the clubs. They're putting time and money to juniors, and then they get poached. So that's kind of getting off track a little bit. But anything else to add to that, Shane?
No, but I agree with what you said. Like, if you've pretty much made this player what he is, you definitely deserve a cut. Like, you do, 100%. Like, it's teams like the Storm, Melbourne, there's six or seven teams that just continuously just grab whoever they feel like grabbing.
Mm.
And, like, what are you meant to do? Like, you've got people like Nick Politis who are literally throwing millions of dollars at his players just to have them there. You know what I mean? Like, they're giving, oh, here, mate, have this car. Brand new C63 Mercedes. No worries. Man, like, he's giving it to 20-year-olds, you know? Like, he gave Latrell Mitchell one. Like, he's just giving people these cars. And it's like, I think it's just, how can you stand, like, there should be a financial fair play ruling with deals, and third-party deals have to be accounted for. Like, yeah, look, you can give third-party deals out, but you can't just give them whatever they want, and they have to be accounted for, because it's just, it's literally unfair to so many other teams. So many other teams just don't have that money disposable. And what are you meant to do? Like, yeah, they're still going to hide shit, don't get me wrong, but at least most of it will come out and you can see, oh, man, he's given this player so-and-so this much to stay. Because there is players there that are definitely on unders. to come and play for Roosters, but they're not actually on unders. They're getting a lot more than what they were getting at their last place. So, like, I really think third-party deals should be all above board, and there should be sort of a financial fair play review on who's getting what and how much money is going into third-party deals across the clubs.
Yeah, the TPAs are a blight on the game, guys. As Shane said, they've got to be pretty even for all clubs. The only thing I'd say, you know, in terms of clubs like the Roosters, so if I can put my Roosters cap on for a minute, not that the Roosters have a cap.
You own one?
But you know, they don't have a big junior base, guys. So they've got to go elsewhere. So if everything was sort of parity, if they're going to pay 5% to every Penrith junior, Power junior, Tigers junior, they're at a massive disadvantage as well. So I don't know what the solution is with that. What I'd like to see is...
But they're still getting the best players.
Yeah, I know, but we could maybe get a benefit without taxing them. We could get a benefit, for example, where if we've got a homegrown junior coming through for us, then we get a salary cap concession because he's come through our junior system. Now,
yeah, Joe just said something similar.
We're still getting an advantage on the Roosters, but it's not like the Roosters aren't literally forking out of their pocket money to get our junior if they do get him. So, I don't know. It's just never going to be a perfect system, but until there's a massive complaint about the whole system, things will never change, guys. Melbourne will keep being Melbourne and the Roosters will keep being Roosters. And even Canterbury, they seem to get who they want when they want. Not that it's showing with success on the field, but they're always associated with 7, 8, 9 signings, no matter when it is or who it is.
Roosters are trying to go Central Coast. They're dipping their toe in as well. In saying that, a guy that is asked for a contract extension, Dane Laurie, so that would mean we'd have to pay the Penrith Panthers some money if we're going off my system. But apparently Dane Laurie wants to extend beyond next year. Have you, any of you boys, heard anything in regards to anything going on with this? And also, how much would you pay for Dane's extension at this point? Shane?
I've heard nothing at all. I've heard he wanted to speak, but no one's actually spoken to him. I'm not sure if that's changed. I think that was probably a month ago or month or two ago. I'm not too sure. I know it was like probably 3 or 4 games in, we heard that rumor that he wanted to start talking about a contract extension and all that sort of stuff. Look, what's annoying is his form at the beginning of the year, I pretty much would have said no. Like, I don't want to give him a contract extension, but I really, look, his form was starting to come all right. It was starting to get back to last year's form because, let's be honest, last year, between him and Adam, they were the two best players in the club for the year. Money-wise, I'd probably only go 500 grand. I really don't think he's yet earned that big money contract. He really hasn't. He hasn't earned the money that is fullback money, we should say. Definitely not 700, 800 grand a year. No chance. Maybe a short contract, 2-year contract on 500 grand a year, and we'll go from there. We shouldn't be giving out long contracts anymore because what we saw from Noffa last year was shit.
Just in our Discord, Hodjo has just posted Danny Wyler. I'm assuming this isn't a joke. After calling Kevin Walters the worst Walters brother walking out of training, Payne Haas has signed a 10-year, $15 million deal for the West Tigers. Joke. Okay, I'm assuming that's not actually Danny Wyler saying that news. Back to Dane Laurie, Rob. Yeah, so would the club be smart to extend him now? Because you would have to think, with him coming back from injury, he's got half a season to playing at the back there. Touch wood, he doesn't get injured again. His value is probably, you would think, only going to go up, not down. So would the West Tigers be smart to say, do what Shane's doing now and say, okay, here's $1 million over 2 years?
I'm a bit conflicted now about Dane Laurie. If you'd have asked me last year, I probably would have signed him last year on an extension already. I think Shane's on the mark with about what he's probably worth if he comes back to that form. Probably $500,000 would be pretty good. But there are so many good fullbacks out there, Josh. I think maybe we could probably hold off 4 to 6 weeks. I know one thing. He has come out and said that he wants to stay with the club, where there were reports that he wanted to leave. So I know he has come out and said he does want to stay with us. But in terms of a deal being done or anything like that, I really don't know where we're at with that. So let's just hope. I just want him to get that half a yard of speed back that he seems to have been missing from last year, because those half breaks aren't turning into full breaks anymore when he was playing. And he was pretty unreliable under the high ball. He kind of got a bit better against South before he got injured. But look, I think I just like to reserve judgment on that. But yeah, if it was up to me, I probably would have extended him last year. And then I would have been scratching my head the first few rounds saying, what have I done?
Mm. Shane, a couple...
I'm being honest, Shane. Like, you know, like
I'm the same.
We don't always get it right. But I was like 8 weeks ago, I said Jock Madden wasn't a first grade footballer. Like, look at him now. You know, so yeah, we don't always 100%. Get it right. We call it as they're playing. So yeah, and form changes. So, but knowing what Dane can produce, Josh might be right. Maybe I actually think maybe we could get him on a cheaper price now than if he starts ripping and playing out of his skin in a few weeks. So it's a real tough one. But yeah, I think the wise thing to do would just be to sit back. Like, priority should be on guys like Jackson Hastings as opposed to Dane Laurie. And there are plenty of fullbacks out there. It's not like there's, you know, only two or three fullbacks. There's not many game managers around. So we need to lock the game managers up. But fullbacks, you could name 10 fullbacks from all the clubs, and they're all fantastic. So I think we'd find a fullback no matter what.
Shane, a couple of people are asking in the comments about Dykes. Have you heard anything from the Sharks? Have you heard anything about him?
Nah, look, I heard the deal's done for next year, but this year, because we've only got one spot, I'm guessing if
so he's Brown definitely plays he's coming. He's definitely coming.
Well, from what I've heard, 2023 is done, 100%. They were just trying to get him earlier for this year. They were trying to get him before the bye round, but obviously that's not happening now because we would have heard something about it. The biggest thing is we've only got one spot left, and I'm guarantee you it's going to go to New Brown if he plays well. Like, look at him. Look at how he played the other day. It was incredible. Just electric. So he deserves it. He was actually going to sign with us a couple of years ago. Obviously, his foot held him back, so it's good to see him back in the Tigers jersey and playing footy, to be honest. And I think he really deserves his spot.
The only last little tidbit of news, not really news. It was on, I think it was on a Fox Sports article or something. Naden coming out, basically clearing out the air on how he got released last week, said it wasn't because of Trent Barrett. He said, Gus Gould sat me down and said, we've got a lot of young centres coming through and there's a lot of pressure and stuff. That's what Naden said. The Tigers were interested. My manager sorted it all out, and the next day I was a Tiger. It wasn't because Baz was leaving. It was because there was an opportunity at the Tigers. So although the Bulldogs fans that told us that the Bulldogs weren't keen to get rid of him and weren't going to pay him, Shane, by the sounds of that, it looks like it was definitely the Dogs shedding some money because they need to.
100%. I'll be honest, I was pissed off when they signed him at the end of last year. I really wanted to get him. I don't understand how the Bulldogs just keep doing what they're doing. Like, I did some calculations on what the supposed salaries were of their players. And after calculating, I think it was like 13 players, they had to pay every single player after that minimum wage to stay under the cap. So I'm proper shocked because I'm telling you now, after 13 players, the rest of the players aren't on minimum wage. So they're massively in salary cap issues, and they've got some big troubles coming ahead. Mm. Probably the only reason why they're not really getting looked at is because they're so shit. So that's probably the only reason why, that if they were playing good, they'd be getting bent over right now, and they'll be sussing every single book they've got in that place, you know? So it's like, you got to think they're paying Addo Carr big money. They're paying, man, they've paid, oh, who was it, Corey Allen. Is he even still playing for them?
I think he's in reserve grade.
I heard he's on 500K or something, yeah.
Yeah, and he's on State of Origin.
That's it. He's on decent money, man. Like, they signed him as a fullback.
Yeah.
They've got all these players. They've signed on massive money. Like, Reid Marnie next year, supposedly on massive money. Who else did they have going over? Kickout's on 800 grand.
They got Pengai Jr. on big money.
Thompson's on 700 grand.
Matt Burton.
Yeah, he's 550, 600. There's a lot of people on some big money, man. And like, yeah, look, they don't have... And you've got to think probably what's Flanagan on? He would be on 600 grand.
Yeah.
So like, they've got a lot... Look, they don't have million-dollar players, but they've got a lot of players on between 800 and 600 grand. You know what I mean?
Can you answer this one, Shane?
You know how
this works. So there's only one spot left in the West Tigers now with McKaylee gone, isn't there?
No, there's
one spot. I think McKaylee might open it up.
Yeah.
Naden Field, who was the little center we let go? The one with the blonde hair, Reese
Hoffman.
Reese Hoffman.
Hoffman, yeah.
Naden filled his spot. So that spot that we supposedly had laying around was filled straight away by Naden.
So that's 29?
Yeah, we're full.
So
one left.
I'm pretty sure there's only one left now because we signed Naden through Hoffman's spot, which was that spare spot we had.
Okay. Rachel and Kathy asking about the Hastings, the Dolphins going after Hastings for next year, even though he's under contract.
That's BS.
Throwing big money at him.
I spoke to his management. It's BS.
So definitely can't happen. I mean, they should give him a pay rise for next year, even though he's under contract. In terms of his contract, that's going to be done pretty soon, I would think.
Yeah. Have you heard anything, Rob?
No, I asked that question today. I don't know if I told you guys, but I had a meeting with Simon Cook. Just a bit of a general chit-chat. And I did ask him about Jackson Hastings, and he said, look, in terms of the footy stuff, he really doesn't. He stays out of that, and he leaves that to Sheensy and the boys. So, don't know anything about that, but you'd assume something's in motion. I just don't like the fact that if someone's playing above their wage that you don't reward them. We shouldn't be, if someone's playing really well and he's on whatever he's on, call it 300 or whatever the case may be, we should be, paying him a little bit more if he's performing better. And he's so vital to our team, you shouldn't be taking advantage of someone. But, especially we've got a little bit of money to spare too.
Hmm. And that's this year too. You can pay him more this year. So we don't have to cop it later.
To be honest, give him 200 grand this year.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Give him 500 grand for the year because, let's be honest, Brooks should be starting to pay some of his wage over to Jackson. Because he's given him a career again. Because let's be honest, if it wasn't for Jackson, who's buying Brooks? Like, yeah, people wanted him, but they wanted him for 300 grand, 400 grand. They didn't want him for the $1 million he's on here. So if I was Brooksy, I'd be going, oh, here's a sneaky 100 grand for the year, mate. Thank you very much.
I think all the boys should be chipping in for what Hastings is doing for them. And even the forwards are playing well. We watched him last week. He just doesn't shut up on the field. Just telling everyone where to go, what to do. They've got no thinking to do. They're just running their lines. They're doing all their good things. He's so vital to our team.
Righto. We'll go to the preview. So lower grades this weekend. The Maggies are playing and the Jersey Flegg team are both playing at Lidcombe on Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning, Jersey Flegg's at 11 a.m. and the Magpies, New South Wales Cup team, are playing Newtown at 1 p.m. The Harvey Norman women, they're playing Monday night, 7 p.m. at the New South Wales Rugby League Centre of Excellence. I don't know if you boys have seen that field across the road from a core stadium. It's a really schmick looking
It's real nice. It's field, really nice.
Yeah. So if we... We're recording at 8:30. I might pop over and have a squiz before we go on air because I live walking distance to that spot. there. So on to first grade. So the team list is here in front of me. So Dane Laurie, who we've just been talking about then, is back this week. Kepa Owa is on the wing, as we've been chatting earlier, over Nofaluma, who's not been put in the 17 because of discipline reasons. Toa is being pushed back into the centres, which I think will be pretty good for him, as Brett Naden and Kenny Mamalo are on the other side. Brooksy is back in the halves with Jackson Hastings, so poor little Jock Madden, after playing a man of a match performance last week, gets dropped. The Jason Gillespie dropping that one. In the forwards, James Tarmow and Zane Musgrove. Front row, Jakey Simpkin is back. So Lids back to Maggies. I mean, the Magpies are going to have a pretty good team this Sunday, hopefully. So Luke Garner and the guy that normally plays center is in the back row again. Luciano Leilua with him. Joel Fungaui at 13. The bench is Tuolagi, 12. New Brown gets another crack off the bench, and Steph is coming off the bench still as well. Boys, start with the backs. Stafford, Toa, Rob moving into the centres with Dane. Dane coming back alone, pushing Stafford into the centres. I think that's a big, big, big plus.
Yeah, it's a big plus on two counts. We've got someone who is really quick on his feet and good in the centres, and we've got someone that can do what Tato was doing at fullback, but obviously, like, be a much better link player and support player. So, look, definitely all great ins. And I think with that back line, Josh, you'll find that they're all going to be there. I've heard Brooksy's hamstring's okay, and Jacko will be 100% by kickoff and ready and raring to go.
A few people in the comments were asking that, and I was, saving it because I knew you'd talk about it in the team list. So you're pretty confident Jackson is going to be out there.
Yeah, I got some pretty good mail, a bit like your mail prior to team list Tuesday, Josh. So I got some pretty good mail going on. So hopefully that don't prove me wrong, but we are going to be lined up 1 to 17.
I think, yeah. Well, you're, what, 72 hours early. I get the mail 80 minutes before the team list comes out. So I think yours is a bit better.
Thanks, mate.
Shane, thoughts on how do you reckon Stafford will go in the centres?
Well, he's a centre, so I think he's going to go really well.
Simple as that.
It's literally that simple. It is, Josh. I'm excited to see him in the centres. His defence will be a lot better having someone next to him rather than just single man out the back. And I'm really keen for Laurie to come in for that link-up play. Really, really keen. I know we all heard Jackson Hastings was in a moon boot, but I heard that was all just precautionary to give it actually time, like whether it was flared up in his foot, time to properly settle down without getting stressed, more so walking around. So I think he only had like one day off training, I think it was, but it was just to rest that foot. I'm excited. I want Tawa to play a bloody good game, and I want Dane to come back and play a bloody good game because we need it. And Asu better get his hands right, because if he starts dropping balls, I'm going to be fuming.
Well, we're in Bay 105, not far back from the sideline. So,
he'll definitely be able to hear you.
Yeah, he better watch out. What about Brooksy back in the halves, boys? Jock Madden played the game of his career last week. I mean, you had to put Brooksy back in there, but yeah, you got a feel for Jock, Rob.
Yeah, it's a real tough one, guys, because Brooksy was playing really well before he got injured, and obviously Jock Madden. I don't know, man. I might have even gone with Madden because I think Madden adds more with his kicking game. It's a tough one, you know, and then I guess Brooksy's defence is a little bit better. So it's a good position to be in. But, yeah, I'm kind of still shocked that I would have given Brooksy, you know, another couple of weeks if it's a hammy. But obviously the hammy must be 100%. So, yeah, it's just good that we've got some competition for positions. And you know what? If Brooksy doesn't perform, Jock will be there after the bye.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And it's great to have people pushing for positions. Just one thing, guys, I'm guessing Toa will play right centre, because Naden played left centre, and then when Toa was playing centres, he was playing left centre. So it'll be just interesting to see who plays on what side. But I'm guessing they won't. They'll probably keep the Naden-Kenny combination. It's a bit of a difficult one.
Do they have to swap numbers, Rob?
Don't go there, for God's sake.
They better be swapping jerseys.
Don't go there, please.
100%, you got to leave Brent and Ken on that left edge. You have to. You can't.
The big boys.
100%. You can't put Toa there. How it's lined up is how I believe it's going to work. I really do think Naden and Kenny are going to be on the left edge, and you'll have to have Stafford and Kepoa on the right. This, watching how, like, even just that little try assist that Naden did, that little bump on, like, just shit like that, man. To be honest, you wouldn't get it from Toa. You wouldn't. And we've now got, it's funny, we've got a tall left edge and a short right edge. So we'll see what happens there.
The only reason I said that, Shane, is, Naden had that second half grand final performance as a right centre. And so has been used to the left side. So I thought maybe Naden might play on the right side. He's got that big right foot step as well. So it'll just be interesting to see which way we line up.
Looking at the Bunnies backline, boys, how do you think ours compares? Who scares you in that that Bunnies lineup? Cody Walker hasn't been in the best form this year.
Mate, to be honest, just Campbell Graham.
Yeah.
Every time he gets the ball, he does something. Whether his run is just massive, he'll make a tackle break, he'll slip three or four tackles. Like, he is their strike. He is their strike. Alex Johnson, who defends Johnson?
Just don't leave him.
Johnson was nowhere to be seen when we played him last time. He scored one try and it was junk. We literally shut him down. No, we shut him down.
Yeah.
Johnston to me is a no. Like, I don't worry about him. I don't worry about him. I don't worry about Tane Milne. Campbell Graham is scary. Very scary. We shut all their backs down last game. We can shut them down again. The one player that was continuously making breaks, and the only player other than their forward pack in that last 30 minutes, that last game we played, Campbell Graham was the one who was just continuously smashing through us and making runs, making massive post contact. He is their most dangerous player at the moment.
Rob, any thoughts on their back line?
Yeah, I'd agree with Shane. Cody's making a mistake literally once a week, like a clanger every week, but he's still the most dangerous guy. Campbell Graham, like I said it before, we played South last time, to watch out for him. They're actually not using him enough. He's not getting enough ball. And I hope he doesn't get enough ball this Saturday as well. Even, watching the game on the weekend, I just saw every time he gets it, he's doing something. But he hardly got a touch, and they switched him from right centre to left centre, which is South's best side, and he still didn't get much of the ball. So I don't know if Campbell will go back to the right or if he'll stay on the left. But if he stays on the left, the boys are going to have their work cut out, especially if it ends up being Kapoa and Toa.
On to our four-pack, boys. The Jakey Simkin in for Jacob Little. Jacob Little had a pretty decent game last week at Leichhardt, Rob. But, Jake's well ahead in the pecking order now. And obviously, New Brown coming in off the bench as well. How do you like that combo?
Oh, I love what New Brown did. I reckon if New Brown has another couple of weeks like that, he'll be starting. Jake definitely plays more to the advantage line. Little played really well last week too. But, he's definitely third in the pecking order. So, happy with the lineup of the hookers. And that'll just give... I just hope New Brown isn't safe for that last 20 minutes. I love him to come on in the middle of the game and just really push the issue. And then, see how we go from there.
Shane, you excited to see New Brown for the first time in the flesh for us?
Yeah. Look, I really hope they play him, how Rob said, just bring him into that middle when their forwards are starting to get a bit tired, or when they're starting to bring a few a few players on and a little bit disjointed, because if they're a little bit disjointed, he's going to tear straight through them. Their forwards last game ended that game incredibly. Incredibly. Like, we were very lucky to hang on. We were making no meters. They were making a lot. And it was all down to their forward pack at that last 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I think with the forwards, I'd just say, to me, Kalo Matangi, he's probably the one we need to stop, because he seems like, if they're playing good, he's playing good. Other than that, look, Tom Burgess and Totola, like, we know what they're going to do. Damien Cook doesn't seem himself this year. He really doesn't seem to be as quick as what he is. Like, don't get me wrong, last game he ran down. Who did he chase down? That was a good little tackle, actually. But he doesn't seem to be probing out of dummy half like he was. He just doesn't seem as confident not having Reynolds there. I think that's sort of upset the whole team, because they all look a bit lost. Look, I think Cody Walker as well is probably going to have a really good game, and we've got to shut him down, because it seems as soon as it's Indigenous round, the Indigenous boys really, really step up for it. So I'm hoping Dane and Naden, they really, really kick some ass. And I'm just hoping that Stefano kicks into gear, because he hasn't got out of second gear since he's come back. I really want to see him. Really want to see him hit fifth gear and absolutely just burst through people like what he was last year. Joe just said, is Tamo playing? Well, I saw his training pictures with no thumb wrapping. So I think his thumb's all right. It did definitely heal.
Yeah, if it goes back in the spot, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. From what I've heard, he's all right, and he definitely was training this week. There's photos of it everywhere. As I shared to you boys, Jimmy Roberts is back running around after his back surgery, so that's good.
Nice.
He was playing incredibly before he was obviously carrying this injury. Look, we've got some good signs. One thing I want to know, guys, have you heard anything about Talau? So I've heard nothing. He has not posted nothing on his story. I've heard nothing about Talau's recovery. The club hasn't said anything. I forgot he played for us. That is how little I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Whereas,
haven't seen his face either.
Haven't seen his face. Adam Dewey is everywhere. You see him. Sean Blore is running again on the treadmill in the
hyperbaric chamber. Yeah.
He's running again. We're seeing him running on grass in the background of the of some of the training photos. Where the hell's Tommy Talau? Like, seriously, where is he?
No
idea.
Because
I've not seen a thing. Not one thing I've seen. Not an update. I haven't seen him with any of the boys. I haven't seen him on the fields. Nothing. He did his knee the same time as Adam. He should be coming back at very similar time, maybe a couple of weeks after. But we literally have heard nothing, and it just says he's out indefinitely. What does that mean? If James Roberts had back surgery and was supposedly out indefinitely, and we're watching him run around, and there's photos of him training, like, literally, there's just no one said nothing about him. He hasn't said anything. It's just really an odd situation to me.
We need the Where's Wally theme song. Where's Tommy? That was terrible. Sorry, guys. Righto. So, rather than, along with our picking the score this week, Rob, how do you think, if Souths win the game, how do you think it'll be? And if the Tigers win the game, how do you think that'll work? So, give us, either way, how you think it'll go.
If Souths win the game, I think it'll be just a bounce back. But then I've never seen them play worse than last week. They were absolutely terrible. So they would have been really given a good rev up this week. Obviously, it's going to be on the back of Cody Walker. If they can get some quick play the balls, Damien Cook with Menchel Campbell-Graham. I'm not a big fan of Taff and Ilias, but, you know, they could come good. I know they're good in attack, but in defence and under the high ball, you know, Ilias, TAF's a bit shaky. So I think for them, the one thing that would bother me is if it is another close game. You know, they were grand finalists last year, guys. They've been under pressure before. This is our pressure game. This is our grand final. This is our time to, you know, actually stand up and you know, not just be an also-ran, but get back in the thick of the comp if we win it. So I just think they've got an edge in terms of that experience, even though they don't have, you know, the Reynolds and the Marshalls and the Gagais of the world. I'm hoping Cameron Murray's out. He's 50-50. He's named in number 24. They're leaving him till the last day. So if he gets ruled out, that would be a big bonus. I've heard that he will get picked for Origin, even if he doesn't play this week.
Yeah, you've got to pick him for Origin.
So that's a good advantage, yeah. But, you know, they at the same time, they'd still like to, you know, the selectors and Brad Fittler would still like to see a player have a game under his belt in the last month.
Yeah.
So that's how I see South winning it. For the Tigers, it's the same old usual stuff, guys. Jackson Hastings, our forward pressure, our forward dominance, you know, keep up that. We've just got to get that line speed up. We can't have lazy markers. South will keep turning the ball back inside. So we just got to be alert, be aware. You know, and I think it really comes down to our kicking game. If our kicking game can be better than South's, I think we can win. But, you know, it's going to be a tough game. But the thing is now, I was actually scared about the game yesterday and the day before. But whatever happens now, I just think, you know what, let's face it, guys, and let's just give it our best. I just hope we don't let the pressure get to us because it really should be a grand final build-up. We've got the bye coming up and we've worked bloody hard for the last, you know, month or so. We're, you know, since the Cronulla game, every effort has been outstanding. So I hope we can win, guys. It's got to, Jackson Hastings has to be, you know, the dominant guy. I don't know. I'd like to see Luch step up a little bit more this week. He's been okay, but he's just been a bit quiet by his standards. All the rest of the boys are playing well, and let's hope New Brown can have the same impact off the bench as he did last week.
Shane, what are your thoughts?
We need to shut those edges down, especially Campbell Graham. Need to keep on top of him. Got to keep their forwards quiet. Once their forwards get a roll on, they're really hard to stop. They seem to, as soon as there's a bit of momentum going their way, they seem to build on it really quick, and their forwards just keep going and going and going. If Cam Murray's in, that's not good. The dude's just got a moat. The dude's just got a motor.
You can't knock him in Origin. He's one of my favorite fastest players. Yeah, he's just insanely good in defense.
Yeah.
Well, mate, I think against us, he had 40-something tackles. And, like, I'll be honest, he played shit against us. Like, he was rattled almost the whole time. But he still did 40-something tackles. Like, that's just a piss take. You know what I mean? Like, he's just that type of player. And he is an 80-minute player, which is worrying. Because if he's out there doing tackles like that, he's just stopping everyone. For us, we need to keep their forwards quiet. We need to run over them. We do have a big pack, but they also have a fairly big pack. Tom Burgess was good last time, especially in that last 25. I just want to see that combo of Brent Naden and Kemba Marlowe. I just want to see it grow. We need to kick to that edge. We need to be passing to that edge. I'm quite confident, especially having Laurie back. That link-up play through the back is going to be a lot better. And yeah. I think if we pass the ball, we're going to start making meters at will. As Rob said, I want Brown to come in and make that same impact again. We need that impact off the bench. And it's good to see Jakey Simkin back because he's just a different style of hooker to Little. He really is. He's a lot more switched on. And yeah, Jacko just needs to lead the ship. He really does. He just needs to lead the ship. And there's no doubt he's going to. and we also need Stefano to hit that gear. He's been so flat coming off the bench. People are like, oh, he's not a bench player. He's not a bench player. It doesn't matter where you are. You're playing the same game. You're a front row forward. Grab the ball, run it. Doesn't matter if you're starting or you're coming off the bench. Stefano can be a massive impact player. Like, that guy can run through anybody. Make him run through who's been on the field for the whole game. Like, run him at the halves. Run him on the edges. Like, just get him shifting it because he'll make his way through. He's a big fella. And hopefully Twal scores the winning try.
I'm just looking at the team list from when we beat them in round seven. So the differences in South's team. So Milne was in the centres. Paulo wasn't playing. And Josh Mansour was on the wing. Halves are the same. In terms of the forwards, Totola, Cook, Burgess, Tom Burgess was on the bench. Selle was starting. The back three were the same. The bench back then, Tom Burgess, Jacob Host, Davey Moali, and Liam Knight. Now it's Mark Nichols, Siva Habali, and Cody Nikorima. So for us, we had Luke Garner in the centres, Nofra on the wing, same halves combo. We had Jacob Little hooker, not Jakey. Seafarth in one second rower, so no Kelmer. And on the bench, we had Jock, obviously no new Brown at that stage. Alex Twoll as well. Thomas McKaylee, obviously, and Oliver Gildart. So would it be safe to say, boys, our side now is actually stronger than the one that beat South the first time?
I'd say
yeah.
So.
Hmm. Yeah, but one thing I want to see Tuolangi off, and I want to see Seyfarth in his spot. I really believe Alex deserves that shot. And it sort of shits me that he just keeps getting dumped off to the bench. Well, not even on the bench, he's just in the reserves. So.
Yeah, I'm confident too, boys. I put money on us earlier in the week because I knew the market would come in. We were pushing $4 and now we're sitting at $2.75 and on tab, $2.70 on tab. It's 7.5 start. I got on us with an 8.5 start. So that's starting to, there was 9.5 at the start of the week. So, I mean, 9.5 and 8.5 doesn't really make that much of a difference. Does it? Who wins by 9? Watch us win by 9 now. My bet doesn't come off.
You mean lose?
Lose by 9, sorry. Lose by 9. But yeah, so the money is coming in the Tigers. People are thinking similar. And yeah, I feel like we can get it done too. It's home bush. It's not like it's a home ground that is intimidating, like a Brookvale or something. ANZ Stadium. Yeah, last year, obviously, we were well behind South, who you said earlier, Rob, went on to play in the grand final. And we should have beat them. We took them to Golden Point and shouldn't have let it get that far. So this much better team with a much better mindset, with a much better leader in Jackson Hastings. I don't know. I'm feeling good about this one. I can't wait to get into our seats, Shane, have a beer or two, and yeah, listen to you and Aussie start abusing people. West Tigers VB. Well,
who would have thought after the start of the year that we'd be, you know, we're not saying confident, but like, you know, I'm pretty confident. I don't know about you guys, but I think we can win. But we wouldn't have said that.
I am confident. Yeah, I am confident we'll win.
We wouldn't have said that after being 0-5 at the start of the year. And, you know, like I said, I think we needed to have those losses. But now we're in a position where, I don't know, I think we can make a run, guys. I really think we can make a run. And, you know, like when you start that badly, 0-5, you know, they say, oh, it's character building. It's not character building, guys. It actually reveals character. And this team's got a lot of it. And Madge has got a lot of it. The players have got a lot of it. And, yeah, pumped for a grand final performance this week. We need to get going.
Did you back us for the top eight yet, Rob?
I'm going to use your account, mate. I can only get $9 with the tab. You get 16, so I might have to get you to put a lobster
yes.
on for me.
I'm just checking that now. It was earlier. Sportsbet has $16 for us to make the top eight. So I threw.
Yeah, well, that'll get smashed if we win.
Yeah, if we win, half. Yeah, if we win and then have the bye, that'll start coming in. And I think we can make a run. I didn't throw a stupid amount of money. At it was only a couple of bucks because it's 16-1, pretty good odds. And who knows? I don't think it'll be a 2005 win the premiership, but I think the second half of the year is going to be completely different to the first one. And I reckon it'll start. Oh, Kathy, I remember last week I was trying to talk Kathy through how to find found it. She found it. You're welcome. I should say you're welcome, Sportsbet. I just gave you some more money in your accounts. And again, any betting companies out there, podcast at westlife.com, send us through some bonus bets and we'll stop mentioning other competitors. So, boys, Shane, I'll see you on Saturday. Whose birthday is it, Rob, that you're attending? Is it Robbie's?
I've got my oldest son, Hamid, who's turning 30. So
happy birthday, Hamid.
Yeah, I've tried all afternoon to get out of it and get here late for the party, but they won't let me go. So I'm going to have a game on my phone or something. So I really wouldn't care normally about missing a game, but guys, this is the season right here. I don't want it to end in May. And if we win, God help the rest of the comp, guys. It's happening. I can feel it.
Why did you have a baby in winter, Rob?
I don't know. It was too hot in summer and we took our clothes off.
When are the other boys? When are their birthdays?
January and February.
Yeah, so they're smart. Cricket season. Yeah. Mine's in late September. So the day that we actually make a qualifying final again might be an argument in my household. So we'll see how that goes. He couldn't. Yeah, he was due.
Something, Josh, I would have pushed it back to 8 o'clock or 8:30, not 6 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. Leo was due literally grand final weekend, but obviously because of COVID in 2020, it ended up not being grand final weekend.
Grand final.
Yeah. The wife was like, "Are you sure? Like, what are you going to do if the West Tigers make the grand final?" I'm like, "I think we'll be safe, but you never know. You never know. Hopefully by then he can come with me." And it can be his birthday
never
present.
Never say never.
Yeah.
Never say never, boys.
Righto, guys. Chuck it in the comments. You know how we finish every show. Another good one tonight. And, you'll see Shane. We'll wear these again. We haven't stunk them up too much. We'll give them a repeat on Saturday. Put them back on. And, we'll definitely be sweating no matter what at the game. So, boys. Happy birthday to your son, Rob. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you at the footy if you're out there. And as always, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the West Life Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by West Ashfield Leagues Club and as well as MG Pump Solutions. If you could please subscribe if you'd love to hear us again. We're going to have episodes twice a week this season, Mondays and Thursdays. So we're going to, as the season rolls in, be sure to catch us every week. And if you can, give us a like on the socials. So at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter, search for Westlife Podcast on Facebook. And if you'd like to take part in the show, patreon.com/Westlife. It's just a couple of bucks a month to help grow the show. We'll see you again next time on the West Life Podcast.